It's outstanding, isn't it? Praise the Lord for it. I want you to take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we'll begin our reading in verse number 15. Psalm 103, and begin our reading in verse number 15. I had something else prepared, and I feel like the Lord is laying on my heart to preach that message tonight. It's our next message in the book of 2 Timothy. But I cannot get away from this thought, and I want to preach it. And it could be today that somebody here needs this. If we're saved, we need to rejoice in what we're about to hear. Amen. Yes, sir. You go right ahead.
I'd like to thank him that he saved this old boy. He's a 17-year-old boy. And he helped me to realize that I was on my way to hell.
I appreciate you too, Brother Tim. No doubt about it. Amen. Maybe we need to let him pastor this place. What do you think? Riled up. I like it. You're getting my engine started up here, you know? Sure. Sure. Amen. Amen. Sure, 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 sure. Amen. I don't know if you can sense it, but there's been a common theme today, and none of it was planned. With the songs that's been sung, the special that was just sung, these testimonies and the message I'm about to preach, I think God's after somebody today. Because I'm preaching today on the mercy of the Lord. Amen. The mercy of the Lord. You're in Psalm 103, look at verse 15. I appreciate these testimonies. Help yourself. Praise God for it. Psalm 103, verse 15. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. In other words, he's talking about the shortness of man's life here. But notice verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. If you mark your Bible, I want you to mark that phrase in verse 17. It's the phrase, the mercy of the Lord. The mercy of the Lord. Let's pray together. We share this thought with you. Father, we love you today. Thank you for these good testimonies. And I pray that you will help us now as we preach this message to preach it with clarity and understanding and love in our hearts. If somebody's not saved, I pray that you'll make your mercy and your grace so real to them that they'll see your goodness to them. And I pray that we who are saved, help us to rejoice in the mercy that's already been shown to us, and help us to be merciful to others as you've been merciful to us. May thy will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. There's no way that a human being can fully describe all that God truly is. After all, he's infinite. However, it would do us good to dwell on different aspects and characteristics of God to learn more of who he is. Now, as we think about him, we can see how he is loving, he is kind, he is generous, he is patient, he is just, he is gracious, he is wonderful, he is precious, on and on we can go. But today we turn our attention on one of these attributes known as his mercy. Now listen to what the Word of God says in Exodus 34:6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Deuteronomy 4:31, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. 1 Chronicles 16:34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 86:15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Psalm 103:8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Psalm 119:64, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Psalm 136:1-26, every verse has this phrase in it, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 116:5, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Psalm 119:156, great are thy tender mercies, O Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Now there are some of the many verses, these are just some of the many verses that mention in the Word of God about how our God is a merciful God. Now in this message, we're going to be looking at his mercy together. Now, in order to help with our understanding, what we're going to be doing is considering some important questions about this mercy that we all need to know and to have an answer to. Now, by the end of this message, we who are saved should rejoice in his abundant mercy that he has shown to us, while those who are not saved should accept his wonderful mercy in their lives today and become a child of God. Now, number one, let's notice the first question. What is God's mercy? What is God's mercy? Now, it's only logical that this would be the first question to answer in this message. See, it's important that we accurately define what mercy is. Now, this being the case, please listen closely. Mercy can be expressed as being kind or showing pity. Along with this, mercy is withholding what one deserves. It's also identified as a refraining from harming offenders, a refraining from harming enemies, and a disposition to forgive and to be kind. Mercy is like a judge. Now get this. Mercy is like a judge looking at you and say, I have found you guilty, yet withholding any punishment. Now, this being the case, let me give you some examples of mercy. First of all is Joseph. Flip back with me to the book of Genesis chapter 50 and wait on me there. Genesis chapter 50, wait on me there. Now in Genesis chapter 37 all the way through chapter 50, which is really the story of Joseph, we see that Joseph is favored by his father above his brothers. Now you understand we're not going to read chapters 37 to 50. I mean, you understand that, right? So I'm paraphrasing it. In these verses, in these chapters, we see that Joseph is favored by his father above his brothers. He also has a dream that's living in his heart that the Lord has put there. However, his brothers at this time could not stand him. They hated Joseph and ended up selling him to Midianite merchant men. Now he ends up in Egypt where he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and he ends up in the prison. Now while he's in the prison, the butler and the baker have a dream and he interprets their dream correctly. And he tells the butler to remember him when he was restored to his job. The butler was restored to his job just like Joseph said, but the butler forgot him for 2 more years. Now Joseph's life for all practical purposes has been ruined. However, after 2 years, Pharaoh exalts him to be the second in command after he interprets his dream, you understand, in the land of Egypt. Now a famine hits the land and now Joseph is number 2 in charge. And this famine only hits Egypt, it hits the other lands as well. Now, including the land of his own brothers and his own family. Now keep in mind, these are the same brothers who sold him. These are the same brothers who it's really their right here, humanly speaking, their fault that he ended up in Egypt and that he was falsely accused. It all started with his brother's jealousy. Now get this, they come to the land of Egypt because they're hungry, they're dying, they need something to eat, and without knowing who they're standing before, they are standing before their brother Joseph. Joseph knows them, but they do not know him. They haven't seen him in so long. He's in all this Egyptian garb, all these kind of things. They do not know it's their brother. And they're asking him for his provision during this time. Now get this. Joseph now has it in his power and in his authority to have these brothers who sold him killed. He had it in his power to take revenge. After all, they deserved it. But instead of giving them what they deserve, Joseph kisses them and takes care of their families. Now in Genesis chapter 50, verse number 15, we notice that Joseph's father now, Jacob, has died. And when he dies, the brothers say, oh, now we get it. They say, oh, he was just waiting until our daddy died. Now he's going to get us. In chapter 50, verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly acquit us of all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. You know what this is a picture of? It's really a picture of mercy and grace. But I'm picturing today in our presence. You understand anything Joseph gave them, that's a picture of grace. Because grace is giving something that you do not deserve. But our message today is mercy. And may I say something to you, that humanly speaking, these brothers deserved anything that Joseph would do against them. They deserved it. They brought it on themselves.
And yet when he had it in the power to come down with a hand of justice, Joseph said, I will show mercy. There's another biblical example of this, and that is David. We're studying this in the book of 1 Samuel. For time's sake, I'm not going to read these things, but you can write it down, 1 Samuel chapter 24 and also 1 Samuel chapter 26, specifically chapter 24 verses 1 to 8, and then specifically chapter 26 verses 7 to 11. Now in these two chapters, we see David and Saul is on display. David has had the hand of the Lord upon his life, and Saul is extremely jealous of him. As a matter of fact, Saul is so jealous of David that he's trying to kill David. David's running for his life over one man's jealousy of him. Now, one time in each one of these chapters, in chapter 24 it happened in a cave. In chapter 26 it was like in an open field. But in each one of these chapters we see that David was given the opportunity to kill his enemy Saul. If you remember in chapter 24 that David and his men have gone into a cave to rest, Saul and his men go into the same cave having no idea that David and his men are in that cave. And while Saul is sleeping, David's men rise up and say, God's giving him into your hand. Go ahead and take vengeance. Go ahead and take his life. He's trying to kill you. It's worth it. Hey, he deserves it. But David said, no, I will not lift my hand against God's anointed. You know what David was showing to Saul? Mercy. Mercy. May I say this, in both of these cases, we see two separate men who had it in their power to take revenge and bring about what the world would think is justice. However, they both chose to extend mercy to their offenders. You know, in the same way, all of humanity has offended the holy God, and yet he desires to extend mercy to the world. This is what mercy is. And the Word of God tells us that God is the Father of mercies. Listen, folks, praise the Lord for his wonderful mercy this morning. In other words, we are guilty. We deserve it. He doesn't have to do it. But when we deserve it, he says, I will not give them what they deserve. That's mercy. Rejoice in the mercy of the Lord. Secondly, not only what is it, but secondly, why do we need it? I've already made a statement about this. Well, let me go into detail. I want you to flip over to the book of Romans chapter 3. Wait on me there. Romans chapter 3. Number one, what is it? It is when somebody deserves something. I mean, justly they would deserve it. But the one who has the authority to take the justice out, the one who has the authority to bring down the judging hand, the one who has the authority to take it out on that person, chooses to say, I will not. That's mercy. Why do we need it? Let me remind you here that mercy is withholding what one deserves. Therefore, let me say loud and clear that we need mercy because we are sinners who deserve to spend all eternity in the lake of fire. We have broken God's law, and therefore we are worthy to be punished in everlasting torment and fire for eternity. We deserve divine judgment. That's what we deserve. The Bible teaches in the book of Romans, you're there. It'd help if I get there, right? Romans chapter 3, verse number 9. What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. James chapter 2 verse 10 says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Galatians 3:10, for as many as are, it says right here, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Let me say something to you folks. We're not good, we're bad. We are not perfect, we are sinners. And the Word of God plainly teaches us that the law was given so it proves to us just how bad we are. Yet on the flip side of it, there are people who think that when they go to heaven, that God's going to take their good works, put it on one side, their bad works, put it on the other side, and if their good works outweigh their bad works, then God's going to let them into heaven. But they bypass James chapter 2, verse 10, where the Word of God says, if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, you're guilty of the entire law. See, God doesn't look at his law as many laws, plural. He looks at his law as one law made up of many parts. Just like I've told you, if you've been here at any time at all here, the law of God is like a chain link chain. It is one chain made up of many individual parts that's intertwined. And yet if we're hanging off of a cliff and the only thing holding us up from death is that one chain that has many leaks, folks, if that's the only thing we're holding on to, there's not many leaks that have to break. There's only one link that has to break to send you to your death. And the Word of God plainly teaches that every single solitary sin deserves death in hell. Now that being the case, that is the reason we need the mercy of God. Because if God does not give us mercy, we will burn in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever. That's what we deserve. Notice I say we. That's what I deserve. That's what you deserve. I'm telling you, what is mercy? It is God withholding something that we deserve. Why do we need it? Because we do deserve something. We deserve death in hell. Now here's the third major question. Some of you have already figured it out, haven't you? Number three, how do you get it? How do you get his mercy? Number one, what is his mercy? Number two, why do we need his mercy? Number three, how do we get his mercy? How do we receive it? By the way, I realize that a majority of folks here today are Christians. Well, let me say something to you. Don't let a message like this bypass you. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. What I'm preaching about, you already have it. Amen. And he wants to use you to give it to somebody else. What is it? Why do we need it? How do we get it? In this message, it is a real joy to see how the Lord is a merciful God. He wants to withhold what we rightfully deserve. He does. He really wants to withhold what we deserve. No doubt about it. Are you listening? The whole world's guilty before him. And yet he says that he loves the world and that he wants to withhold what the world deserves. By the way, you're in the world, aren't you? Then the world's partly you. It's a joy to see this. However, it's necessary for us to see how we can receive his mercy. You know, it's one thing to know something is available. It's one thing to know that's available. Yes, there it is. I can have it. But it's another thing to understand, how do you get it? How do you get it from there to your possession? Now understand this point. We will discuss how we as sinners who have broken the law of God can have his wonderful mercy extended to us so we do not have to go to the lake of fire forever. And let me say loud and clear here that one receives the mercy of God when they simply ask him for it by faith and believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead. The Bible says that we who are sinners
that Christ died to save us from our sin. And he tells us that if we will simply understand we're sinners, that we can't make it to heaven ourselves, and we come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and we ask him to come into our heart and forgive our sin, and we want him as our Savior, he says, I'll give you mercy at that time. Now, let me prove this to you.
Remember how the Word of God tells us that all have sinned and that sin must be paid for. But the Word of God goes on to say these things. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also at once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid his life down for us. 1 John 4:9-10, and this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation or payment for our sins. See, the Bible plainly teaches that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. The Bible plainly teaches that he was buried and he rose again as our substitute. See, the fact of the matter is that God is a God of justice, which means he's already said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, which means sin must be paid for. It has to be. But yet he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die in the place of sinners, to die for our sin. And he says, if you will believe me and confess me and ask him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, he says, then I will take what Jesus did and I will apply it to your account. And I have punished him, but I have shown mercy to you. That's powerful. That is absolutely wonderful for us. And I'm telling you, this being the case, his mercy is available to you and to I through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sin. And the way you receive God's mercy is you simply ask him for it. The Word of God says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Psalm 86:5, for thou, O Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Mark 10:46-52, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Luke 17:13-14. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Luke 18:11-14. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I tell you, Jesus said, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. another. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Matthew 18:23-27. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, that's mercy, and forgave him the debt. That's mercy. That's grace. I'm telling you, if you'll notice in each of these situations, mercy was extended after the one who needed it simply asked for it with a sincere and a believing heart. This is the only thing standing between your soul and salvation, is you understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. You understand that you have broken the law of God. You deserve death. You deserve hell. You deserve separation from God. But yet you understand that he died for you. He was buried for you. He rose again for you. He died in your place. And folks, he's coming back again. And he says, if you will confess your sin, if you will ask me to come into your heart, if you will believe in your heart that I am raised from the dead, and you simply call unto me and ask me for mercy, God says, I'll give it to you. 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 Thank God for the mercy of the Lord this morning. Saved by grace, I live to tell what the love of Christ hath done. He redeemed my soul from hell, of a rebel made a son. Oh, I tremble still to think how secure I lived in sin, sporting on destruction's brink, yet was saved from falling in. Praise God. Numbers 14:18. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty. Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth iniquity is purged. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Ephesians 2:1-6. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, he's saying we were the children of the devil. We were fulfilling the lust of the flesh. We were lost. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Hebrews 2:17. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Daniel 9:9. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Matthew 9:13. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, sinner, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, why won't you call out to him this morning and not delay any longer? 1 Peter 4:17-18. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of Christ? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Luke 16:22-25. And it came to pass
that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in my lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they come to us that would come from thence. He's saying that when he's in hell, he's crying for mercy. But because he's in hell and he rejected Christ in this life, he's too late. He's too late. He's too late. Can I say something to you if you're lost this morning? Call out for mercy now, because if you don't, you will be in the future, but it may be too late for you. I'm asking you, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? I'm telling you, my burden that God has put on my heart, the one burden, there's many burdens, but I'm talking about one thing that he's trying to consume me with. I need to let him do more with me. But one thing he keeps on putting on my mind is, Jody, get out and get more done. Jody, get out and try to reach more people with the gospel. Jody, get out, share your testimony. Try to reach people for the glory of God, his mercy. He wants to get around the world. And I'm telling you, if you're here today and don't know him as your Savior, he's a merciful God. His hand of judgment is ready to come down at any moment. But he sent his son to die in your place. And he says, if you'll receive my son, I have punished him. I will not punish you. That's mercy. But if you reject him and you reject what he did for you and you do not accept him, I still have to punish sin. And he will have to send you to the lake of fire. There's a song. I don't know it very well, but it goes something like this. It says, Adam walked with God and knew the greatest joy of all. But when he sinned, he broke God's heart, and he knew that he would fall. For God had warned him long ago, so clear the word had been. His judgment now was sure to come. With death he would pay for sin. But God in love sent down his son to die upon the cross. Jesus walked up Calvary's hill and rescued us from lost. It was not something we deserve, no way that we could buy the forgiveness of a holy God. But the Father heard our cry and gave us mercy. God gave us mercy when just in time he sent his son to suffer and to die. Mercy, his precious mercy. And now the chains of sin and death are broken by mercy, God's sweet mercy. It goes on to say, just like someone who kneels before a king upon his throne, so I knelt before the Lord confessing all my wrong. I knew my sin condemned my soul and no works could justify. So it's not for justice that I prayed, but for mercy there I cried. And he gave me mercy, God's precious mercy. Jesus walked up Calvary's hill to rescue us from lost. It was not something we deserve, no way that we could buy the forgiveness of a holy God. But the Father heard our cry and gave us mercy. I'm telling you today, hey, don't let it cause you to shudder when a preacher gets up and says, you're bad, you're bad, you're bad. I'm saying I'm bad too. We're all bad. We've all broken God's law. Every one of us. I'm not good. The Bible says none is good. Says we've all turned away. We've all broken the law of God. There's two types of people listening to me right now. Number one, those who have gone to God and God has said, I'll give you mercy. And those who have not done that and take a chance every day of their life that the mercy of God will never be extended to them. Now, how about you? Have you had the mercy of the Lord extended in your life? If you have, wonderful. If you haven't, I've got great news for you. He said, he that cometh to me,
I will in no wise cast out. He wants you to be saved. And if you are saved today, rejoice in what the Lord has done for you. And on top of that, can I give you a verse, Christian? Luke 6:36, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. You don't know what they did to me. You may be right, but I know what you and I did to him. And he showed us mercy. And he says, as my children, I want you to show mercy as well. Amen. And may the Lord help us with this. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father, take this thought and use it in a mighty way. We thank you for your goodness to us and your mercy in our lives. And I pray for maybe just one person here today that does not know you as their Savior. I pray, Lord, that you'll help them to trust you today before it's too late. May the will of God be done. We who are saved, help us to rejoice in what you've done for us. And on top of that, help us to show mercy to others. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, they're beginning to play through softly. If you're here today and do not know the Lord as your Savior, the Lord is after you. It's been common sense to me. From the hymns that Brother Gary chose, to the special choir number that they sung, to the special song that this group of men sung, these two testimonies that they just had to get up and say something for the Lord, to the message about his mercy that he wants to extend. God loves you today. He wants to extend his mercy to you. Have you say, Jody, I'm glad I've had his mercy extended. I've trusted him as my Savior. I'm not hoping about salvation. I know I'm saved. I am born again. I've received Christ as my Savior. I know I'm a Christian. If and only if you know that with God watching you, would you raise your hand in the air of mine, please? Yes, I know I'm saved. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Put your hand right back down. Is there one today, say, Jody, I can't raise my hand saying I've had the mercy of God shed abroad in my life. You say, I understand that I'm a sinner. Whether it's one or 10,000, it doesn't matter. The fact is, nobody's perfect. I need God's mercy. I want to know that heaven is my home. I really, really do. And I could not raise my hand saying I've had God's mercy extended to me. If that's you, would you quietly, we're not going to come to your seat, not going to call you out, just want to know who you are so we can extend this invitation in the right way. Is there one today? Say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be sure that I've had God's mercy shared in my life. Is there one like that? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody at all? My eyes are surfing. My eyes are looking. We're looking around this auditorium. Anybody at all? You say, Jody, pray for me. I'd like to know that I've had God's mercy shed in my life. Anybody at all? I'm looking. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. There's somebody in this life that I need to show mercy to. Oh, I'm saved and I've had God's mercy in my life. But there's somebody in this life who's done me wrong. And God is speaking to me about how I just need to be merciful to them as he has been merciful to me. Is God speaking to you in that way? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God bless you. That's several hands. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help you. Let's all stand together, please, shall we? Our Father, we love you this morning. I pray that you'll take the thought, use it in a great way. Somebody's here that does not know you as their Savior. May today be the day when they walk the aisle and trust Christ. Understand that salvation is simply them coming to you. I invite you to come into their hearts and be their Lord and Savior. Help those who raise their hands saying, somebody's done me wrong and I just need to show mercy. Help them to do that. Give them the strength to do it. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God is speaking to you in any way, would you leave your place? Would you come? As he sings, would you come now, please? As he sings, come on.
Softly at time.
softly. If you're standing, you can look this way. We're about to dismiss in prayer. Every now and then, if you're not careful, you'll lose sight of what I preached about today. It's so easy to forget where we could be today. You understand what I'm saying? God had every right to send every one of us to the lake of fire. And if he did that, he would be right, he would be just, he would still be perfect. But he chose in his sovereign will. Now get this. He created Adam and Eve knowing that they would sin. He didn't cause them to sin. He didn't ordain them to sin. But he knew they would. Right? And he created them anyway. And even when they sinned, he could have just like that. But what did he do? The Bible says he clothed them. You know what the Lord was doing when he sent Jesus? He was making it possible so he who is a just God and will punish sin can show mercy to you and I. How dare we not serve him after everything he's done for us? Amen or not? Amen. Tonight at 6:30, be back in your place. Prayer meeting at 6:10 in the chapel for anybody who wants to come. Try to bring somebody with you. Be much in prayer for these big days that's coming up. I want you to pray about these days. If you're a first-time guest, let me remind you again to take your card out the back. Drop it off at the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift for you. Please shake each other's hands on your way out. Let's continue to be a friendly church. Don't eat too much at lunch, okay? And if you can, go down by the Gray Funeral Home for Brother Mike Hodges and the death of his mother. That would be a great thing, okay? Watch Brother Marty Scroggs, sir, if you wouldn't mind to close us in prayer, please.